You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Mr. Randy. It's always great to be in the studio as we answer your questions live. The number to dial, as just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK. You can start calling that number right now, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. I will be going to your calls in just a few moments, but let me give you our address again. If you're writing me, it's always Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, on the web, equip.org. And you can always talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000. And the letter CRI. On yesterday's broadcast, there was a taped interview that I did with my son-in-law, Adam Pelser, who is a professor at the Air Force Academy. He's a philosophy professor in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And we were talking about the abolition of man. And again, the reason we were doing that is that's one of the feature articles in the Christian Research Journal. And we wanted to get you, well, hooked on the journal. And the only way we can do that is to feature some of the authors and some of the articles. And that's what we're doing on yesterday's broadcast. Again, today we'll be taking your calls live, 888-ASK-HANK. For those who support the ministry all this month, this journal available as our way of saying thank you, just chock full of important information in a post-truth culture. Check it out again on the web at equip.org. And do remember a lot of ways in which you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can download CRI's Equip app. And you can also listen on SiriusXM 131 or stations all across the country. I got away for just a couple of days this weekend to clear my head. It was a wonderful experience. I was in the presence of the Lord the whole time. It was so fascinating how the Lord let me know that He was with me every step of the way. It was so encouraging to me. And then, on top of all of that, I got to see my beautiful little sister. That was fun. She came and visited me along with her husband. And I thought, wow, I had forgotten, or well, obviously I hadn't forgotten, but it just hadn't occurred to me. I have two brother-in-laws. They're both pastors in the Christian Reformed, or the Christian Reformed Church in different parts of the country. And then I have a nephew who's also a leader in the Christian Reformed Church. So as we were talking, it was kind of wonderful to recognize that though we have a little different perspective on some issues, but when we talk, we both learn from one another. And it is a glorious experience. And I think this is exactly what is necessary in today's culture. I've been getting so many positive letters and emails and Facebook posts and you name it. I don't really have the expertise in social media yet, although I'm going to start an intentional podcast very, very soon. People around me are saying, that's one of the things you got to add to your arsenal, an intentional podcast. And we're going to start doing that fairly soon. We'll roll that out and talk about it as the days go on. But some of the letters, Ladd Allen, you'll know him as the film producer that we recommend so often, Privileged Planet, and he did Metamorphosis and so many of the great DVDs that we have recommended over the years. He sent me this letter. Hank, I've read several recent articles referring to your embrace of Greek Orthodoxy, well, actually Eastern Orthodoxy, or just Orthodoxy in general. I think the only difference in Orthodoxy when you travel around the country is the pastries that they have when you're having fellowship together. He goes on to say, honestly, I know very little about the basic tenets of the Orthodox Church. However, given my utmost respect for you and your pursuit of biblical truth, I can only believe you've made a solid, well-reasoned decision that is honoring to God. I suspect you're receiving a lot of feedback from the evangelical community, not all of it positive. I just want you to know that I support the decision you've made, and I'm praying for you often. Your ministry has had such a big and very positive impact on my life. I look forward to working with you and doing so more during the years to come. Lad Allen, and again, I'm deeply appreciative of those friends of mine. You know, some of them have left me for some reason. I don't know why. I still love them dearly and deeply, but many more have joined and become my friends, and I'm just deeply delighted and very peaceful. I'm going through sort of a whirlwind right now. I've had some medical challenges, and on top of that, I've had some challenges as radio outlets have dropped our program, hearing that I converted to Eastern Orthodoxy or to the Orthodox Church in my community. And NRB just dropped us, didn't give us an opportunity to say goodbye to our friends. But we love them, and we pray God's peace and blessings upon them in the years ahead. NRB, of course, being the National Religious Broadcasters. And I was thinking, while I was pondering things, that a body of believers that acts like, looks like, and thinks like the surrounding culture, failing to emphasize Christ and Him crucified, has little reason to exist. And I think, therefore, there's little wonder that people are heading for the exits in record numbers. My brother-in-law, a Christian Reformed pastor, was telling me about the decline in the Christian Reformed Church. It's precipitous. And you could say that about churches everywhere. I think what millennials in particular are looking for is that which is authentic. They want to experience the authentic Christian life. And if there's anything in my own journey that's been interesting over the last 10 years, it's been just that. I have been filling my head with knowledge for many, many years. And our moniker at the ministry used to be Because Truth Matters. Today, I would say I have a love relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what that means, in essence, is that I not only know about Him, but I know about Him. There's a difference between knowing and knowing. You can know something intellectually, or you can genuinely experience the risen, resurrected Christ. And as the years have gone on, particularly in the last few years, my love relationship with the Lord has deepened to an extent that I can hardly express to people. Just as my love relationship with my wife has continued to grow, my love relationship with the Lord has become ever more dear and precious to me. And I think every single day, Lord, I hope there's nothing that I will do today that will displease You, that will in any way take away from Your glory and Your holiness. One of the books I wrote many years ago as a result of Chuck Colson, my dear friend, who has now gone on to be with the Lord, it was The Prayer of Jesus. And at the time, The Prayer of Jabez was making the rounds, and I was pretty upset about it because it communicated that if you had this little formula and you implemented that formula just perfectly, then a rather capricious God would open the storehouse of heaven and send you down whatever you needed. If it was something physical that you needed, He would send it to you. If you didn't have a leg, He'd send you a spare part. And I was exercised about that, and Chuck at that time told me, you know, Hank, everybody's interested in prayer. Don't write a polemic. Write a value-added. And I wrote The Prayer of Jesus, became a number one bestseller. And in that book, I talk about our Father, all the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, but our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that petition in particular has just gone through my head over and over again the last few days. Hallowed be thy name. In other words, may what I do today bring glory. May it hallow. May it make your name holy. And may I be pleasing to you. And so at the end of the day, there are many wonderful Christian friends in the Orthodox community and the Catholic community and the evangelical community. And we will spend eternity together, as I was with my Christian Reformed sister and brother-in-law this weekend. I thought, wow, one thing I know for certain, though we may have some differences theologically, although the more we talk, the less the differences are. One thing I know for certain, we're going to spend eternity together, and that's a great joy. So I'm just in a great state of mind. I have a whirlwind around me in some senses, but I feel so wonderfully peaceful right now. I sense the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the peace, of course, is the peace that passes all understanding. Well, long-winded with my monologue today, but let me go to the call. Scott in Bakersfield, California. Hi, Scott.
Yeah, good afternoon, Hank. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I appreciate your monologue. That was very nice.
Thank you.
My question is that we went to a church in Tennessee over Easter, and they only have one church, but they don't believe in the Trinity. And I just wanted to know your feelings about a church that doesn't believe in the Trinity, not so much what the Trinity is, because I do believe in it.
Yeah, there's nothing more significant than this great mystery, because it has to do with the very nature of God, and every single theological heresy is a misconception of the nature of God. So you think about what happened in the 7th century with Muhammad. Muhammad believed in a Unitarian God. Well, there was a time where he spoke the satanic verses, but we won't get into that right now. But he posited a Unitarian God. And as I've said on this broadcast, a Unitarian God by nature is a morally defective God, because independent of the universe, a morally defective God is that because this God cannot exercise the attribute of love. And what we can say with certainty is that in eternity past, there was always a love relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the beauty of Trinitarian theology is that we are brought into the fellowship of the Trinity. What an incredible privilege. We were created for that very thing. And I suppose in my monologue, I was talking about that on a personal level. I knew about the Trinity. I probably can communicate it as well as most. But did I really understand what it meant to be brought into the fellowship of the Trinity? Well, I didn't. And this is the thing that all of us have to recognize, is that we are created in the imago Dei, in the image and likeness of God. We were created for fellowship with God. And until we have that fellowship, I mean, everything is sort of about information as opposed to about relationship. Now, I'm not depreciating the information. The information is critically important. But I'm also trying to point out to my audience over and over again that the Trinity is a great mystery. We can communicate it in words, but the words are wholly insufficient. One God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. Kind of falls from my lips, and yet I cannot comprehend that. It is beyond my ken. God is ineffable. I mean, we should never forget that. We will never know God in His essence, even in eternity. That will be a process. But we can know God in His energies, as the church has always spoken about it, and as the Apostle Paul speaks about it. We can know God in His energies. We can have an encounter with God. So I often think about sitting out in the sun. I'm Scandinavian. I was born in Holland. Light-complected. If I sit out in the sun for a few hours, you'll know I had an encounter with the sun. Well, we can have that same encounter with God. So on the one hand, I can define it for you, but maybe much better to say you can be brought in to the fellowship of the Trinity. If you want a very precise formulation where I take each one of those planks, one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct, you can find it in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Now over 500,000 copies. You can also find it in a flip chart that I did, Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine, the T of which in the acronym has to do with the Trinity. So either of those resources available, you can find it on the web at equip.org. We'll be back in just a few moments. Remember, you can queue up right now when you dial 888-ASK-HANK.
Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, Paul and Ethel Gould share three ways they have taught their kids apologetics effectively without them even knowing it. Don't miss three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it, and to love the right things in the right way. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. Three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it. Other topics include how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. www.bibleandsermon.org. A trend in many parts of the contemporary American Christian church is the propagation of cliches that are neither Christian nor true. One of these is the idea that no sin is any worse than any other sin. That is, from God's perspective, all sins are equally bad. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, Michael W. Austin offers a strong biblical case for why, in God's sight, all sins are not the same. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our callers. Just wanted to mention CRI's support team. Before I left on Saturday to kind of clear my head for a couple of days, I signed some 15 books. I was just counting, and I can't mention everyone just due to time considerations, but I'll just pick a few at random. Maria, Freeport, New York, $50 per month. Marvin, Richmond, Virginia, $35 a month. Jess in College Station, Texas, $40 a month. All people that joined CRI's monthly support team, given on a regular monthly basis. Shannon in Belmont, North Carolina, $50. Richard in Las Vegas, $100. Amanda in Charlotte, $100 a month. And some people give $20, and you know, I just pick those out at random. But whatever people can do to stand with our ministry prayerfully and financially is deeply appreciated. When you do that, again, I have this great privilege of personalizing a book to you. And it's fun because I get to see the name and I where you're from, and it's I don't want to sound overly spiritual about this, but I do so in a state of communion with the Lord and thinking about, wow, there's a body of Christ out there standing with me shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Man, I tell you, in a post-truth culture, we ain't seen nothing yet. And this is not the time to pull in our horns. This is the time to stand firm in the faith once for all delivered to saints. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Merrill listening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Merrill.
Hi, Hank. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call, I want to thank you for your ministry and for sharing your journey so openly and honestly.
Thank you.
It has helped me grow and has equipped me so well. Thank you for that. I have a question about forgiveness, and it came up during our small group on Sunday when we were talking about forgiveness, and I spoke up about something you've talked about in the past, is that forgiveness takes two people, someone wanting forgiveness and someone wanting to forgive. And I move that over to just like with the Lord and with Jesus when he died for us. We asked for his forgiveness. He died for us, and we have his forgiveness. I was basically told that I was pouring out Kool-Aid. I was offended by that. And I thought, I'm going to go to you. I trust your word to help me with this. Some people have said that when Jesus talked about having to ask for forgiveness, he meant that it was for the Jews before he died, that they were still under the law. Could you please give me some clarity on that? And is asking for forgiveness an integral part of being saved?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I have to say, as prologue to answering the question, that this is some of the hermeneutical chaos that I was so disturbed by that I started looking for a safe zone. The kind of things communicated I don't mean to be pejorative here, but everybody being their own pope, having their own interpretation, is simply mind-boggling. And this is one of them. Many Christian leaders today are warning the devotees that to continually confess sins is tantamount to cheapening God's unmerited favor, or worse, mocking Him. But I will tell you, from a personal standpoint, this weekend, as I was clearing my head, that was one of the biggest things that happened. The Lord kept bringing back things to remembrance that in some way were a violation of His holiness. You know, we sin by sins of omission and sins of commission. And I was so burdened by that. I, first of all, confessed my sins because I know a broken and a contrite heart, O God, You do not despise. And so, and I even asked the Lord Jesus, please do not bring back, more than I can handle. And this goes on in the present as well. I think about maybe some of the, the sort of the visceral reaction that you have when you've been building an audience with radio stations for 30 years. And then you have these radio stations break their contract without ever contacting me, or and there's a certain amount of, just a human being, you go, wow, I mean, I cannot believe this. We're friends for 30 years, and now all of a sudden you just reject me on a whim as though somehow or other something went screwy in my brain? No. But, even that thought, I had to ask the Lord for forgiveness for. And what I'm attempting to do with God's grace, is to respond to people with meekness and humility, knowing that I desperately need forgiveness myself. Today, when I got up, the first thing on my lips was, have mercy on me, O God, according to Your unfailing love, according to Your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. I won't go through the whole thing, but later on, David says, then I will teach transgressors Your ways, and sinners will turn back to You. Save me from blood. I mean, just the prayer of forgiveness. So, yeah, I mean, the people that are saying, well, that Lord's prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray, that's Old Covenant. It doesn't have anything to do with us today. They're simply deceiving those people that are easily led and gullible because, unfortunately, a lot of people are not only historically illiterate, but they're biblically illiterate. The Apostle John urged his dear children in the faith, those who had been forgiven on account of Christ's name, to continually confess their sins. This does not cheapen God's grace. Confession purifies our hearts. It restores the joy of our salvation and grants a willing spirit, as David said, to sustain us. And that's why I love, and I was talking about this at the beginning of the broadcast, it's why I love so much the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And this petition, like what I was discussing with respect to the contrition of David, that petition brings with it grace and peace. And boy, have I felt peaceful. I've never felt more peaceful in my life than I do right now. I don't have any reason to feel maybe as peaceful as I do, but I feel peaceful. And, again, the sacrifices of God, where are they? They're a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh, God, You will not despise. And so we should confess our sins to one another and also confess our sins to God.
Okay. And when I pray for forgiveness to God, I don't pray wondering if He's going to forgive me. I know that I'm covered in the blood of Jesus,
yes.
But there's something so special and intimate about that time with Him when I humble myself and say, I have fallen short. And I feel that it's very, very much a part of my salvation and a continuing part of it. And even as I was offended, I just responded with what you say, and that is essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. But the more I kept thinking about it, I wondered if this was something essential that we were disagreeing on.
Well, I think this is very essential. I mean, it's sort of, I could say, excuse me, I can say to my wife, look, I married you, so if I ever offend you, don't expect me to say, I'm sorry. We're married, sort of analogous to the blood covers all, and therefore, you know, no matter what I do to you, I'm not... I'm never going to ask for forgiveness again. No need to do that. We're married. We've already tied that knot. Well, the truth of the matter is, if I offend my wife, I want to go to her in meekness and humility and say, honey, I am really sorry I reacted that way. Please forgive me. And inevitably, my wife will say, well, no, it wasn't your fault. it's just the way she is. But anyway, but I still have
one
need to confess my sin.
I'm not going to take any more of your
sure.
time. You use a word, and I have tried to remember it, and I'm going to write it down now. It's a word that you use when there's something in the Bible that, in the Word of God, that is beyond an explanation, an understandable explanation. It's not timidity, you said. It's when
it's
when
an
you
antinomy.
Just accept the word.
Yeah, it's
what
an antinomy. Antinomy.
Antinomy.
Antinomy.
Okay.
Antinomy meaning tension. There's so you know there's a thinking about the fact that I choose my path. God directs my steps. That's an antinomy. It's something that I can't fully resolve. How is that? I have, over the years, given explanations, but I can't fully resolve that. How can God be one person, one God, excuse me, in three persons eternally distinct? There's a tension there. I can't explain that. How can Christ be really present in the Eucharist? I'm looking at one thing, and I'm believing another. There's an antinomy there. And as I've gotten older, I've thought, you know, I like to dwell in the land of antinomy because God is far greater than any small amount of knowledge that I can garner over this short lifetime. And so, yes, it doesn't preclude. I never want to take a contradiction, as some do, and cloak it in mystery. I think that's just ill-fated, short-sighted, wrong. However, we have to recognize genuine mysteries. The Trinity is a mystery. The Incarnation is a mystery. Free will, sovereignty, at some dimension, is a mystery. So there are many mysteries, and I call them antinomies. So thanks for asking. And wow, I've really gotten long-winded. I don't know how that happened, but my apologies to everybody hanging on. I will get to you. If at all possible, in the next segment of the broadcast. Also, the quote of the day coming up. And a reminder, as always, and particularly today, we need people to stand with the shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. People think maybe I have made some radical change in my life. No, the only thing is I've fallen more deeply in love with the Lord, with the body of Christ. And when I walk into church today, my first thought is not what I can get, but what I can give in terms of worship to our dear Lord. We'll be right back, so please don't touch that dial.
Modern board and card games offer a means for social interaction as well as creative and ethical decision-making. But Christians should not participate in activities closely mimicking forbidden and evil behavior. How can Christians determine which board games are suitable for them and their family? Read The Ethics of Modern Board and Card Games by Richard J. Poupard in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back
after the break. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. C.S. Lewis was the greatest apologist of the 20th century, and he continues to serve as a practical role model today for winsome Christian apologetics. Donald T. Williams perceptively identifies several lessons we can learn from observing Lewis's approach. Other topics include the abolition of man today, three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it, how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Most of us Westerners do not even think about a cow or chicken being slaughtered as we eat a steak or chicken sandwich. Taking the life of an animal can be unsettling, and in response, various religions idealize a vegetarian diet. To support their view, some claim that certain texts from the Old Testament, especially Isaiah, support this vision. Well, does Isaiah idealize vegetarianism? Professor Andrew T. Abernathy answers that question in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
We'll go back to your calls in just a moment, but first, the quote of the day. It comes from Dallas Willard in a book called The Divine Conspiracy, Rediscovering Our Hidden Life in God. Dallas has gone home to be with the Lord again a couple years ago, I think, but he was a towering figure, a great writer, and not only an American philosopher, a professor of philosophy at the University of Southern California, but a great author on topics, especially topics that have to do with spiritual formation, including the spirit of the disciplines and the divine conspiracy. The quote of the day, again, from Dallas Willard, who said, "The most telling thing about the contemporary Christian is that he or she simply has no compelling sense that understanding of and conformity with the clear teachings of Christ is of any vital importance to his or her life, and certainly not that it is in any way essential. We, including multitudes who have distanced ourselves from any formal association with them, still manage to feel guilty with reference to those teachings with a rather nervous laugh and a knowing look. But more often than not, I think such obedience is regarded as just one of the question or impossible. Again, the quote from Dallas Willard, and the quote of the day we put up on the web. I might have had a typo when I put that into the computer, but it'll be up in perfect form on the web. Dallas Willard again, talking about intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to George in Tacoma, Washington, Sirius XM 131. Hi, George.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I give to your ministry every month, so in a sense, I guess I kind of feel like a stockholder.
Oh.
So as a stockholder, Hank, I didn't really hear exactly what you converted to, so could you state that again real clearly for me again? Because I'm not really following what's going on.
Yeah, well, this is a kind of an interesting journey in my life. Typically, when I talk about it, I go back to many, many years ago that we were doing a primary research project on a group called The Lord's Recovery. And as a result of that, I had some opportunities to travel around the world, and I met people who had a real sense of encounter with God, people who believed in theosis, or what Peter talks about when he says partaking of the divine nature. In other words, we can never become what God is in his essence, but through his graces, by partaking in his graces, we can become by grace what God is by nature. So we never become what God is in the Godhead. And however, we can become more and more like him. There are a lot of different terms that are used for this. The early church called it theosis. Some churches talk about it in the sense of sanctification, but I don't want to get into the weeds here. The thing that really impressed me was to see people who had a genuine encounter with God and were living that out in real time and space. Well, all of that got me to wondering about, my own relationship with the Lord. I felt like I was certainly committed to the Lord. I've been serving the Lord. I've been faithful in many ways to the Lord, whether giving or teaching or broadcasting or whatever. But I started to fear that I had fallen in love with the menu and never gotten around to making the meal the main and the plain thing. It wasn't that I didn't participate in the meal. I just, wasn't always the main and the plain thing. Well, as things progressed, I realized that what was going on with this group, thoroughly Trinitarian, not modalistic as had been communicated. Many of these people I found had actually suffered and been imprisoned, and some had died for their faith in China. It all had a tremendous impact on me. And as I saw a lot of the hermeneutical chaos or the interpretive free-for-all that was going on in the church, I was looking for a safe spot for my family, a place where people were not going to be innovators but perpetuators of that which was once part and parcel of the faith passed down through the centuries. And I started exploring a particular Orthodox Fellowship of Believers. And when I went, one of the things that was really interesting, one of the pastors immediately recognized me. Are you Hank Hennegraaff? Yes, I am. Oh, wow, I've loved your books and this and that and the other thing. I walk into Fellowship Hall and I run into a person who had come to faith in Christ, listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And I found this wonderful community of believers. And My kids and my wife wanted to come with me, but I told them, no, I'm just exploring. I'm just doing this because there's a gap in my learning historically. I'm just exploring, so you can't come with me. Well, they kept persisting, and about the third or the fourth week, I said, okay, if you read this, you can go with me, because otherwise you don't know what's going on. So we went, and my wife and my kids loved the liturgical nature of the church. They loved the worshipful atmosphere. They loved the people. And over the years, we kept attending. But we could never partake of communion, because in Orthodoxy, they have closed communion, because they believe that the Eucharist, which means Thanksgiving meal, represents their real body and blood of Jesus Christ, which I happen to believe as well. So we eventually, as our family got more integrated in this church, we eventually decided, after maybe two or three years of studying, that particular fellowship of believers was a fantastic place for me to worship. But I also, in the process, got to know the larger Orthodox community in a way that I never did before, and that was very, very helpful to me. And, you know, I suppose, George, if there's anything I could say, it would be that God has his people everywhere. I was mentioning at the beginning of the broadcast, I was with my brother-in-law and sister. He's a pastor in the Christian Reformed Church. They are the most beautiful examples of Christianity in every way. They are my brothers and sisters in Christ, and they accept me in the same way. And so God has his people in the Reformed tradition, in the Southern Baptist tradition, in the Lord's Recovery, in Orthodoxy, in Catholicism. I mean, I think about Frank Beckwith. What a great person and a great apologist. He's Roman Catholic. He's probably forgotten more than I know. So God has his people everywhere, and I have been enjoying, very much enjoying, filling in a gap of my learning, but also meeting a vibrant body of believers that is very interested in being salt and light in the 21st century in a post-truth culture. And I think I may have a little impact in that as well, and your support has made all of that possible.
Well, Hank, you know, I think what you're saying is just wonderful. I mean, my wife died in 2009. She was a Roman Catholic. I was raised a Southern Baptist. When she died suddenly, I went on my own journey to find a church just like you and your family. And you know, people are resistant to change. And your friends don't like to see you searching sometimes. Your friends don't like to see you out there exploring. So I know exactly where you are. I've been there myself. It's sometimes an extremely lonely journey, especially with my wife being gone, for me to find the church that I feel the Lord is speaking to me. But in a sense, Hank, you have been called into your own wilderness, just like Jesus was called into the wilderness, and so was Moses. But sometimes God speaks to us deeply, deeply in those wilderness moments in our lives. Since my wife's death, I think I have grown closer to the Lord than I ever was when I was married because of this wilderness experience. So whatever resistance that you're getting from this, I feel that, and I'll pray for you, but I know that you're brave to take the stance that you're doing in this world that we live in, because people do not like to hear change. But I feel like, you know, the New Testament talks so much, Hank, about Jesus going off to be alone, to pray, to fellowship, to be recharged. And I think you've done that, it sounds like, with this weekend and this journey that you're called into. You'll definitely have this wilderness experience, Hank, but I admire you for coming on the air, sharing your experience. I have told many people about my journey since my wife's death, and most people's eyes just become big, and they're in amazement normally when you tell your journey, because people, they want to hear people searching deeply for that experience with Christ. And many people get very complacent in their churches. They get stale. They get like dried bones, like in Ezekiel. And they want to hear people that are out there searching. So, Hank, I don't know what the resistance is, but I've been there. I know it can be hurtful at times, but that wilderness that God takes us into sometimes can be so refreshing and so rewarding. And we come out of that wilderness so much stronger and deeper in our faith and so content with Jesus. All of that pain and sorrow in the beginning is washed away. So, Hank, you know, God bless you. I'll keep praying for you and your family, and I just wish you the best.
Thank you so much, George. I mean, this is this is another example. I feel like my callers are ministering to me more than I'm ministering to them. And it's very grateful for people like George. I had no idea what George was going to say. I mean, it could be a hostile call. But the one thing I want to tell everybody listening to me right now, I have never gone off half-cocked. I didn't write a book on eschatology until I had studied it for 15 years. And don't suppose for a minute I have gone off-cocked, half-cocked, or don't listen to the people who say, Hank Hennigraff is not a Christian anymore. I've seen the posts. They're all over the place. This is not true. I've never been more in love with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I can't say it enough. We're out of time, and I am really, really sorry that we're out of time. But I'm going to be back here tomorrow, so you can call. For those hanging on, my apologies. I'll be back here tomorrow, Lord willing, with more answers to your questions and a whole lot more dialogue. Thanks for tuning in.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it, and historical amnesia means certain death when moral truth is forgotten. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal examines C.S. Lewis's prophetic warning that the growing acceptance of moral subjectivism and the moral skepticism it breeds would lead to a pernicious moral and eugenic manipulation of humanity. If we are to forestall the nightmarish consequences of the death of truth, followers of Christ must reject ignorance and false knowledge and deliberately learn to speak and feel the truth of the natural moral law in love. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.